Good afternoon. You're listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program Public Affairs Show on KDNK. My name is Steve Mills, and I am the co-leader and co-founder of Gay for Good Rocky Mountains here in the Roaring Fork Valley. Today, we are very excited to continue our monthly program called Dimensions in Diversity, geared towards LGBTQ plus youth here in our valley. Every month, we'll be bringing in local, state, or national nonprofits to speak about resources for youth and their families. We'll also highlight the successes, challenges, and stigmas facing queer youth today. As a reminder, Dimensions in Diversity broadcasts every first Monday of the month at 4 p.m. on KDNK. In-kind support for this program comes from Gay for Good Rocky Mountains and is sponsored by Aspen Out. Today, we are very excited to be joined by Daniel Ramos, who is the Executive Director of One Colorado. Thanks for joining us today, Daniel.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's you've been on my long list of people I've been wanting to connect with, so I'm very happy we're able to finally do this.
Wonderful. Yeah, I'm glad our paths were able to cross.
Yeah, definitely. So please tell us about One Colorado and some of its top priorities at the moment.
Sure. So One Colorado is the state's leading advocacy organization for LGBTQ Coloradans and their families. And so we are an advocacy group really focused in four key priority areas. Our first one is around safe schools and LGBTQ youth. So we work every year to make sure that our state's anti-bullying laws are implemented. So working with schools, working with school districts specifically, training educators on how to meet the needs of LGBTQ youth and address anti-LGBTQ bullying. And then we also coordinate the Colorado Gay Straight Alliance Network, which is a network of nearly 266 GSAs across the state that focus on building support in community for LGBTQ youth and their allies in their schools. And through that programming, we offer four regional leadership summits in Denver, Fort Collins, Grand Junction, and Colorado Springs. And so we'll be out on the Western Slope in the spring. And so we'll keep folks updated on when that event happens. Our second program is focused on LGBTQ health equity. So really looking at the disparities that the LGBTQ community is experiencing. So for example, we just published a survey on LGBTQ health disparities this summer. And what we found, you know, that LGBTQ folks are diagnosed with depression and anxiety at a rate three times higher than the non-LGBTQ population. And we also found that LGBTQ people are but less than two-thirds of them are out to their healthcare provider. So the real question is, are people getting the care that they need based on their relationship with their healthcare provider? The third area of our focus is on transgender equality. So one of the big things we did this year was we passed Jude's Law, which is a bill that makes it easier for transgender and non-binary Coloradans to update the gender on their state identity documents. So beginning January 1st, Colorado will be the third state to offer three designations, male, female, and X, for folks who identify as non-binary or neither male nor female. And then we've also removed really important barriers like the need for a doctor's note, a court order, or even a gender-affirming surgery for folks to be able to update their identity documents. So that will go into effect January 1st. And then the fourth area of our focus is around civic engagement advocacy. So how do we really continue to talk about the work that needs done to close this gap between legal and lived equality? Because in Colorado, we have some of the best laws in the country for LGBTQ folks, but we are still seeing many disparities within the LGBTQ community, and we can only address those things by continuing to be visible, by continuing to be engaged, and to continue to advocate in the legislature and at the local level for policies that impact LGBTQ Coloradans and their families.
Yeah, and personally, I've been following all the great work you guys have been doing through the past couple of years. I know you've had some events up in the Aspen area where you've pulled in some community partners and people just want to get more information. I personally have got a lot of value out of those meetings. And it's great to see all the hard work you guys have been doing in the state to really push for more equality, not just for our LGBTQ youth, but also for adults in general. So thank you so much for all the work you guys have done.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a real pleasure. As you were mentioning, one of the things we did this year was we conducted an 18-city statewide tour called the One Colorado for All Tour, because it's really important for us as a statewide organization, as you mentioned, to be in the community, to hear what are some of the unique challenges, what are some of the successes in the community, and how can we leverage, our statewide community of LGBTQ folks and allies in our advocacy to make Colorado a better place for LGBTQ folks.
Great. So how did One Colorado start? And, you know, how is it different than some of the other LGBTQ plus advocacy groups we have in our state? You know, everyone, I think, specializes in something a little bit different. But, you know, maybe give us a little more background about One Colorado in particular and how it's different.
Sure. So we started, there was an organization that existed before us called Equal Rights Colorado, which was a volunteer organization that had some really incredible successes, including passing our state's non-discrimination law back in 2008, which specifically includes protections for folks based on their sexual orientation and their gender identity. And so we were founded with this idea, you know, where we continue to talk about the stories and the impact and the experiences of LGBTQ folks and many, you know, decision makers, legislators and other folks were asking, you know, we continue to hear stories of these challenges for the LGBTQ community. But where are the stories? And so we were really created to be a statewide grassroots advocacy organization. So that we could share those stories, so that we could identify spokespeople around the state, so that we could talk about the unique experiences in the different areas of our work, whether it be in schools and addressing school climate for LGBTQ youth, in the healthcare system for improving outcomes for LGBTQ people, by working with government agencies and others to improve the quality of life for transgender folks, and by also engaging the LGBTQ community in civic engagement activities. So, for example, in 2018, we turned out more than 84% of our supporters to vote in the election, really just talking about the importance with the community, about why it's important for us to show up and why it's important for us to turn out to vote, because we know that elections and ballot measures can have incredible impacts on our lives. The second thing that we've done or that we do is we engage a lot in the media. So we have spokespeople trained all across the state to really to continue to talk about the challenges and the successes of the LGBTQ community, for us to talk about the progress that we're making, the challenges ahead, and the work that we're going to continue to do as a statewide advocacy group to address those issues. You know, there's also a lot of research that we do. We have conducted, we've published four groundbreaking reports on LGBTQ health, some specific to just general LGBTQ health, some really specific to the transgender community, one specific for healthcare providers and understanding the unique challenges for healthcare providers in meeting the unique needs of LGBTQ folks. And then just most recently, we published Closing the Gap, the Turning Point for LGBTQ Health. And so it's using for us, one, what we hear from the community, what the relationships that we have around things people want to do either in the state legislature or our partnership with government agencies and the work that they're doing. And then this last piece is really thinking about how do we use research to inform public policy. And so we really think of ourselves as, the state's leading advocacy group for LGBTQ Coloradans and their families, and recognizing that being statewide is incredibly important for us. You know, I myself, for example, grew up in Sterling in Northeast Colorado, where I know that my experience growing up in Northeast and rural Colorado is much different than my experience would be living in downtown Denver. And so it's how do we continue to build a statewide community of folks for us to really understand what is happening in local communities, and how can we partner with local organizations, with local with folks on the ground, for us to be able to really move the needle for LGBTQ folks all across our state, and to make sure that it's not just a good place for LGBTQ people to be in the metro area, but that we are really focused on making sure that LGBTQ folks living in rural Colorado also feel heard, that we're improving their lives, because I too was one of those people growing up in rural Colorado.
Yeah, and I'm going to expand off that here in a second, but I know One Colorado came out here last May, Gay for Good Rocky Mountains invited you guys to come out to our first Pride Parade that our valley has ever seen, that happened here in Carbondale, and you guys were very gracious to come and have a presence, not really knowing what to expect at that Pride Parade, again, since it was the first one our valley had ever seen. Our turnout was phenomenal. We had a few thousand people come to the Pride Parade, and you guys were there as educators, as representation, and, you know, on behalf of Gay for Good Rocky Mountains and our valley. Thank you so much for having a presence here.
Yeah, well, that's incredible. And again, congratulations on a really successful Pride. I think one of the things that's been most exciting for us to see is the increase in the number of Prides around the state. You know, this year there were 18, and last year I believe there were 13. And we attended all 18 because, again, it is the work that you all are doing in your local communities. You know, the local advocacy, the partnership with youth and healthcare providers and many others of where we're really seeing the magic happen. And so the fact that we get to be a part of that we get to come, we get to listen, we get to learn, we get to experience. That's the love that we have for this work, and really being out in the community to hear really what is happening.
Well, we'll be having our second annual Pride Parade in May. So I will make sure to send you the date so you guys can be here once again to support our youth and support our community.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So tell our listeners a little bit more about you and how you personally got involved with One Colorado.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, you know, I grew up in Northeast Colorado in the small town of Sterling, about 13,000 people on the Northeast Plains. And I came out, I came out very young. I was 13 years old. I grew up in a Latino family and came out just 1 year after Matthew Shepard was killed. And so growing up in rural Colorado, for me at the time after Matthew Shepard was killed, meant something, quite unique in thinking that, you know, my mother and my father thought that, you know, perhaps every time that I left the house would my story be Matthew's story. That piece that around living in rural Colorado, coming out as a young gay person, what would my experience be like? So I graduated from high school in Sterling, went on to CU Boulder. I'm actually the first of my family to go to college, and got really involved. I was involved in student government in high school. I was involved in band and choir and many other activities. And so when I got to CU Boulder, I ended up getting involved in student government. And that was really where I understood more about the impact that that the legislative process and that elections can have on the lives of our community. And so in 2006, I got involved. I had an internship at the Capitol. I'm also in the first of my family to vote. And so it was really important for me to understand more about the legislative process, about how do we make bills? How do we make public policy that impacts the lives of people? So I took on that internship and learned all about the policymaking process. And that same year, I also volunteered on the referendum I campaign, which was a campaign that would have allowed for domestic partner benefits here in the state of Colorado. I believe it was 13 basic rights and protections for LGBTQ couples and their families. And it was also that same year that Colorado voters put in the state constitution a ban against same-sex marriage. So at the same time that I was working on this campaign that would have provided 13 basic rights and protections for LGBTQ couples, and that failed, the same year Colorado voters a constitutional ban on same-sex marriage on that same ballot. So I got really involved. I ended up working on it for a couple of congressional candidates after that. And then when I graduated college, in 2010, I graduated college with a sociology degree in the height of the recession. And so that didn't get me very far. And so I ended up working on a congressional race in California for a couple of months. And then I moved back to Colorado after we lost. And in March of the following year, in 2011, was hired at One Colorado to launch our Safe Schools work. And so this was actually my first job at One Colorado. We passed a bill that year. We became the 13th state to specifically protect LGBTQ youth from bullying and harassment in our schools. There are only 18 states that currently protect LGBTQ youth from bullying, and there are no federal protections against bullying for LGBTQ youth, so it's even more important. And so my job was really to build out this program on how do we work with school districts to make sure that their policies include protections for LGBTQ youth. And just as of this year, 100% of Colorado's 178 school districts now have policies that include LGBTQ youth in their anti-bullying policies. The second piece of the program was to develop training and resources for educators so that they can understand, how do I better support LGBTQ youth? How do I address anti-LGBTQ bullying when I see it happen? And how do I create a better learning environment for LGBTQ young people in schools? And so far, we've trained over 15,000 educators on laws, policies, and best practices for working with LGBTQ youth. And then the third piece, as I mentioned, is really focused on how do we build leadership? I know that for myself, it was the investment from mentors and others, and developing my own leadership as a student government leader that really helped me get involved in this work. And so we launched the Colorado Gay Straight Alliance Network back in 2011. We had 97 GSAs in middle schools, high schools, and colleges across the state, and we now have 266, and we're continuing to grow. And so as we think about our programming, was really focused on how do we make sure that we're accessible to people all across the state. So that too is why we have 4 regional leadership summits in northern and southern Colorado, in the Denver metro area, and also on the Western Slope, because, you know, the size of our state has an impact on how connected you feel. You know, we are one of those states where sometimes you can't get to the other side for a couple months out of the year. And so really making sure that we are accessible. And so I worked my way through the organization. I served as our political director for a number of years. As our deputy director, I did a lot of our health policy work. And then in August of 2016, I became the executive director and have been serving ever since.
Well, that is quite a resume. A bit overwhelming just from my perspective, but obviously it's your successes speak for themselves, and so congratulations on that. And that is quite a first job to have as executive director. So I don't envy you, but you've definitely made some major headway. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And yeah, what's really exciting, you know, we'll be celebrating our 10-year anniversary next year. So to think of us, you know, it's a fairly young organization, celebrating 10 years. I'm really excited to lead this organization into the next 10 years, because, again, we've been able to do so much in our first 10. And it's because of the support that we, the support partnership of the community all across the state, that we've been able to achieve so much in such a short amount of time.
That's great. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Dimensions University on the Andy Zenka Youth Empowerment Program. This program is supported by Gay for Good Rocky Mountains and sponsored by Aspen Out. So, Daniel, I know there are a few cases the Supreme Court is currently reviewing that could dramatically affect LGBTQ plus Coloradans. Can you give us some background on each of these cases and some of your thoughts around those?
Sure. So there are 3 cases currently before the U.S. Supreme Court. So oral arguments were early in October on 3 specific cases, and they all deal with the question of whether or not Title VII, which prohibits employment discrimination on the basis of sex, which is included in the Civil Rights Act of 1964. The question before the Supreme Court is, does Title VII, do those protections cover LGBTQ folks on the basis of sex or sex discrimination? And so two of the cases, a gay person was fired from their job after they came out. And in one case, a transgender woman was fired from her job after she came out. And because currently in 29 states, it is still legal to be fired from your job or thrown out of your home for being an LGBTQ person. There are only 21 states with explicit protections for employment discrimination, and Colorado is one of those states. But again, more than half of LGBTQ Americans live in states where they could be fired from their job or thrown out of their home simply for being LGBTQ. So this will be a case that will have profound impact on the LGBTQ community. I think that, you know, I've been at One Colorado now for 9 years, and to think that we had the marriage equality case before the U.S. Supreme Court, which allowed the freedom to marry for same-sex couples. We had the Masterpiece Cake Shop decision, which did not change any of the laws about whether people can use their religion to deny LGBTQ people services. And this question now before the U.S. Supreme Court is, can LGBTQ people legally be fired from their jobs simply for being LGBTQ? And so we expect a decision early, probably midsummer, like June-ish is when we get a lot of the LGBTQ decisions. And so I think what's frightening, again, is that more than half of LGBTQ Americans live in states with no protections, and that if the Supreme Court rules that LGBTQ people are in fact not protected under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, then, you know, what we need to figure out is, how do we win protections for more people in more states? And to know that, unfortunately, whether an LGBTQ person, can or should be fired from their job simply for being who they are, that should be a nonpartisan issue. We should really be focused on ensuring that people have access to jobs to take care of themselves and their families. And so, again, you know, there's a lot of speculation about what the court may or may not do. But what we need to make sure is that we need to expand protections for more and more LGBTQ people in more states. And hopefully the Supreme Court sides that LGBTQ people, in fact, cannot be or should not be fired from their jobs simply for being who they are.
Yeah, so June or July or whenever those cases come through, it will be very, very interesting to see how this all plays out and what the ramifications, you know, would be one way or another. So unfortunately, we have a little bit of time to wait and see. Wish we could get an answer tomorrow, but we'll anxiously be waiting the outcomes of those. So kind of expanding off of that, what's the most pressing issue, you know, either you or Juan Colorado feels, you know, our LGBT youth are facing today in Colorado?
Yeah, so as we, you know, in our statewide tour this year, I think one of the things that we've realized, again, is this disconnect between legal equality, where here in Colorado, we have many of, you know, some of the best laws in the country for LGBTQ folks, but we're seeing the lived experience, the everyday experience of LGBTQ Coloradans actually getting worse. You know, we know from the Healthy Kids Colorado survey that LGBTQ youth are 4 to 5 times more likely to contemplate suicide than their non-LGBTQ counterparts. We know that nearly a third of LGBTQ youth miss a day of school in the last 30 days because they're too afraid to go. And so that has a really huge impact on the academic success of LGBTQ youth. In our health survey, we learned a lot that, you know, many LGBTQ folks don't have access to an LGBTQ competent provider. We learned that less than 2/3 are out to their doctors. And when we asked why, 36% of them said that they actually feared discrimination from their healthcare provider if they came out. And so are people able to access a competent provider is one question. And we know that that's having huge impacts on the mental and behavioral health of LGBTQ Coloradans. Again, you know, much higher rates of depression and anxiety. We've also seen increases in the level of isolation, the level of rejection. And we, too, are seeing an increase in the frequency of harassment and discrimination of LGBTQ people. And there was just recently, a couple weeks ago, a report published on the increase in hate crimes against LGBTQ folks that was put out by the FBI. And then even further, we know that lived experience is really where One Colorado's work is focused. And so it's how do we get more educators to create learning environments that are affirming for LGBTQ young people, for healthcare providers? How do we ensure that folks can access an insurance plan that meets their needs and that they also have a healthcare provider who can address their unique needs? And then as we think about, you know, moving sort of further along, is that we know the experience for transgender and non-binary people. We know the experience for LGBTQ people of color and even LGBTQ older adults is different. And so it's understanding that there are some unique challenges that the LGBTQ community faces, but there are many challenges that we all face together. And so it's how can we move the needle to improve a quality of life for LGBTQ Coloradans and their families, while also looking at, you know, knowing that healthcare costs is one of the biggest barriers for folks in accessing healthcare. We know that school climate should be an issue for everyone. And we also know that people, you know, hopefully want to live in communities where they feel less harassed, less discriminated against, where they can live better, fuller lives. And so it is that work that One Colorado is now focused on and really thinking about how do we close this gap between legal equality and lived equality. And we're going to be doing that in communities all across the state.
Wow, there's just so much work to do. And again, you've touched on so many different areas of opportunity. So thank you for not just thinking there's one way to tackle all these opportunities, but there's multiple ways to come at it. So with that in mind, how can our listeners get more involved with the work you do, especially our youth?
Yeah, so I think, you know, folks can go to our website, one-colorado.org, and learn more about the work that we do. You know, there are a number of resources on our website for youth, for educators, for healthcare providers, and knowing that we have many different experiences in the community and that there are resources that are there to help. So that's one way. We're also really active on social media. And so for people to sign up on our Facebook page or Twitter or Instagram and learn more about what we're doing. As I said, we do a lot around the state. We attend, you know, all of prides around the state. Next year, we'll be taking our health survey into the community and doing presentations and trainings. And people can learn about those either on our website by signing up on our email list or on social media. And two, you know, people can, you know, people want to learn more about what we can do. You know, we are also, again, you know, we love to be in the community. And so if folks want to host a community event or a roundtable or something where it'd be important for One Call to be at the table to meet a new group of folks, to talk about the ways that we can partner and to see what we can do together. Those are always ways that One Colorado loves to work with folks all across the state to be in local communities and to be really good partners in improving the lives of LGBTQ Coloradans.
That's great. And Eric, give you the heads up. We're going to be coming knocking on your door at least, you know, definitely in May, if not sooner, to come help us here again in the Roaring Fork Valley.
Yeah, that's great. You know, and we really appreciate, you know, all of the support that Aspen Out has given to One Colorado and helping sponsor LGBTQ Lobby Day, which is coming up on February 24th, and also our GSA Summit, because we know that the work that we do with our youth is incredibly important. So again, thanks to Gay for Good and to Aspen Out for being really, really strong partners with us in the Roaring Fork Valley.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Daniel. We look forward to talking to you again in the near future.
Great. Yeah, thanks so much again for having me.
Thanks. You've been listening to Dimensions and Diversity on the Andy Zinka Youth Empowerment Program. This program is supported by Gay for Good Rocky Mountains and sponsored by Aspen Out. We've been talking with Daniel Ramos, who is Executive Director of One Colorado. For more information about One Colorado, visit One, which is O-N-E, -colorado.com. If you'd like more information about Gay for Good and their upcoming events, visit gayforgood.org/Rocky Mountains. Thanks again for listening to Dimensions of Diversity on the Andy Zinka Youth Empowerment Program.